bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
The Battle of the Beltway is getting underway. In a moment, Rock and Buck on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Manager's Report. Chris Tillman, 5 scoreless innings in his debut yesterday. Had a rocky first inning. Are you pleased overall with what you saw from him?
Oh, I'd have signed up for that before the game started. I was just thinking about how those hitters in Potomac must have felt. You know, they're watching him, or Charlotte, you know, Staten up against him, and then he pitches shutout up here. You know, it was a struggle early, you know, to find his way. I thought he found a couple pitches he could command. And he's got – one thing about Chris is he's got a very deceptive delivery. Guys don't really see the ball very well off him. It's something we talk about all the time when you're evaluating pitchers. I know I can tell by his face today he feels real good about things. And, of course, Asher played – Alec played a real big part in that game. And but good first step for Chris. I'm really excited that he feels good today.
Yeah, Asher with 3 1/3 scoreless. Is he looking like a guy that could help you in a variety of roles? Obviously, you've seen him start and he's done well, but also a guy that can come out of the bullpen and give you innings like that.
Well, his versatility has been impressive. You know, we had 4 days off. Last night was his start day, and he was going to pitch. And I was not going to use 3 guys down in the bullpen yesterday and take whatever may. You know, we're getting ready to face probably the best hitting team in baseball right now statistically. There's not an out in their lineup, and you better have some bullets for these guys because they present a real challenge.
Trey Mancini with 3 hits, including a home run. He had been in a slump. I believe it was something like 3 for 31. Were you curious how he was going to handle that and how soon he could come out of that? Because there's not a lot of track record. You're still learning about him.
You know, until somebody really brings that up, none of us really looked at it like he was in some type of stretch. We don't call it slumps. We don't call it funks. Those words you don't mention in a clubhouse. He wasn't getting a statistical return for what he was doing. You know, he had 3 or 4 balls hit hard. So Trey's pretty strong mentally. And as long as we down in this locker room don't make a big deal out of it, you know, it's like somebody comes up and asks him, what do you think about your slump? What do you think about your slump? He goes, oh, am I in a slump? You know, it's another thing you have to be strong mentally about while people around you are in a state of panic.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Manager's Report. Of course, a lot of the attention tonight on Matt Wieters, his return to Camden Yards. Is it going to seem strange seeing him in that on the other side in the red uniform? And what kind of reception do you think he's going to get tonight?
Oh, I don't know about strange. It certainly, you know, Matt was here earlier. He knew I'd be here early. We sat down and talked a little bit. And, you know, he's very respected and loved here. He's a special guy that contributed a lot to some of the things that have led us to be more successful, and we were lucky to have him pass our way. And it's a small world. Things have a way of your paths crossing again. Not excited about trying to figure out a way to get him out or do some things. He makes them better, like he made us better. And we wish, it's like Miguel, you know, I hope he gets 3 hits and catches real well and we win, because he's good. He's good people, and the Oriole fans, and we should be proud that he handled himself the way he did here. And we did some good things for him too, Rob.
I know it's not the same as playing in the division, but do you sense this rivalry is kind of building with the Nats, 2 good teams now?
I don't, you know, bottom line, if the fans think it's important to us. They're very good. They're probably on paper the best team in baseball right now, and their pitching has been solid, their starters especially, but they're just so deep. Good farm system. They've made some really good trades. And it'll be a tough 4 games. I know this. There's not many. It's very much like, you know, the Yankees had to go play the Cubs. And, you know, we'll play the Cubs later in the year. So every schedule's tough. And Washington makes ours tough because we play them every year. And they're going to be good every year.
What kind of challenges does Gio Gonzalez present tonight?
Throwing his curveball a lot more. They're trying to get him to throw it more. You kind of look at his tendencies very quietly. This guy's made 30 starts every year. He's got another good season going right now. You're going to see 3 in a row real quality pitchers, much like the Red Sox, they're carrying 3 Cy Youngs. You know, these guys are all capable of winning that award also.
And lastly, how's Francisco Pena's thumb and Jonathan Scope's hand?
Well, not really thumb, it just cramped. He basically cramped up all over his body and he couldn't close his hand, and you know, they got some fluids in him, and he's fine today. It was a 24-hour thing, and he's available to go. He just fluids got away from him, and it was funny on and out there. His whole arm was cramping up, and he said he was ready. He thought he could go, and you know, you do have to close your hand in order to catch.
And what about Jonathan Scope?
John's taken some BP and done some things. We're going to wait until after batting practice when he takes his full fielding drills, but he's very close.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, thank you. By the way, Scope is in the lineup tonight. They'll be out there at second base. Well, Matt Wieters is back at Camden Yard, but tonight in an opposing uniform. Tonight, Matt Wieters will try and beat the Orioles as the Nationals catcher. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Matt Wieters' comments, as well as Adam Jones, when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
Oriole Park at Camden Yards on a lovely night for baseball, and the Orioles' first look at the Washington Nationals this year. The Battle of the Beltways is underway, and Matt Wieters is back in Baltimore as a visiting player. We'll hear from Matt Wieters and Adam Jones after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Nationals here at Camden Yards tonight, and it was June of 2007 when the Orioles selected Matt Wieters with the fifth overall pick in the June amateur draft. Now, Matt quickly raced through the Orioles system, and he made his big league debut for the rebuilding Orioles on May 29th of 2009. Now, following last season, Wieters became a free agent. The O's went in another direction. They signed Wellington Castillo to become the Orioles' number one catcher, and Wieters eventually signed with the Nationals. So tonight, Wieters is back in Baltimore, but for the first time as an opposing player against the Orioles. Now, Wieters met with the media today on his return to Camden Yards, and he was asked if he was surprised that the Orioles did not make a contract offer to keep him in Baltimore.
It was something, at the end of last year, you kind of had that feeling that it may come to end. You always hope that you'll play for the same team forever, but it was something to where I didn't really know what was going to happen. I didn't have some offers, for a while in the offseason because of a wrist injury, so I didn't really, know what was going to happen. But I was okay with that. It was a matter of, I've always believed that we're in certain places certain times for a reason, and I was in Baltimore for so many years for a reason, and now in D.C.
Okay, so with no contract offer coming from the Orioles, when over the course of the offseason did Wieters realize that he would not be staying with the Orioles?
Once I signed with Washington, I thought that was going to be a long shot. But it was something to where, really until late in the offseason, I didn't really have any idea where I was going. So the door's always, open everywhere until you do sign. And once, Washington looked like it was going to be the right fit, then we move forward with that.
So Wieters joined an already contending team in D.C. after helping the Orioles become a contending team. So he now has experience on both sides.
When I was here in Baltimore, first couple of years, we were definitely building our core. But, ever since Buck came on board, it wasn't a matter of budget wasn't an excuse. It was, you're playing to win over there and playing to get to the playoffs over there, just like we are, in D.C. now. But it's a matter of, having, guys who have played on other teams and now have come here signing, lucrative free agent deals. Everybody kind of has a good feel of who they are because of they've spent time in a career other places. So, the great thing about Baltimore is that we all came together and we all learned together. So we all kind of learned the same way. Over here, everybody's kind of got some different experiences they can throw into the mix.
All right, so along the way, Matt Wieters became very close personal friends with several of his teammates, including Adam Jones. Now, tonight in the bottom of the first, Adam Jones will step to the plate. He'll bat second for the Orioles. So how does Wieters expect that meeting will go?
It'll be loud. Hopefully there's not a mic around somewhere. But it'll be good seeing a lot of these guys when they come to the plate. I remember when I played here and Nick came back, and it was good just getting to see him. Even though it was weird in a different uniform, it's still good to get to sort of see somebody who's doing well and still doing their dream and doing what they do, and just playing baseball.
All right, now how about it from the other side? What will Adam Jones expect when he steps to the plate?
He hasn't really heard me talk to catchers, so I think this is going to be like a first, because he doesn't know what I say to other catchers due to the fact that he's never been in the box besides little scrimmages in spring training. So I get a chance to talk to him for the first time. It'll be pretty interesting.
Okay, apologize for the technical difficulties. Jones was told that Wieters is hoping that the TV microphones don't pick up their exchange.
It's part of the business. I do miss them, but it's part of the business. His locker was a few lockers down from mine for an extended period of time, for 7 years. And, I'm glad to see that he's doing well. Glad to see that he's obviously in a good place over in Washington. I like his comments. He said it was rude at first, but, you learn as a professional to just move on. And, we've had difficult situations moving on from former players that have been here for a significant amount of time. So it's just another one of the cases where you just have to, appreciate what he brought to our team for 7 years. And now wish him all the best, and we just have to move on.
All right, so as for Wieters tonight returning to Baltimore as an opposing player, He was asked if it's going to be emotional.
It'll be a little bit amped up, and I'm sure, and you know, I was saying this today, is every time I do something for the first time, you get a little bit of those butterflies. But you know, I think the good thing is the further you get in your career, you learn how to handle them a little bit better. You know, coming back from you know, first game, you obviously have them. Coming back when I came back from surgery, I had them, and it'll be the same thing here because I will have never experienced playing here from this side of the field.
Well, Matt Wieters played 8 seasons with the Orioles. He played in 882 games. He hit 117 home runs, and he was part of the initial rebuilding. The Orioles now contending teams every year. They have been since 2012. He made his big league debut in 2009. Buck Showalter joined the organization the following year, and the Orioles have been a solid team in the American League East going back to 2012. It is a gorgeous night for baseball at Camden Yards. Plenty of sunshine today, and finally no rain in sight. And it's not damp. It's a little cool, but it's pleasant for baseball. It's the Battle of the Beltways, the O's and the Nationals. And from Camden Yards, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. Yep, in the win column again tonight. Orioles with their 5th consecutive victory as they beat the Nationals in the first of a 4-game disjointed series, if you will. They win this one by a score of 6-4. I'll tell you what, Jim, Kevin Gausman, would you agree his best outing so far this year?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it, and it's one he really needed. He was very disappointed with the ejection in his last start, and you can understand why, because the hit batter, when he got ejected, came around the score. That made him a losing pitcher in that game, and he was helpless to do anything about it because he was ejected by the home plate umpire. And when you think back to a start prior to that, he had the first start on the road trip. Orioles gave him a 9-1 lead, and then it was 11-4. So he had a 9-run lead and a 7-run lead, and he kept letting the Yankees get back in the game, and a game the Yankees eventually would tie in the bottom of the ninth and win an extra inning. So he really was due for one of these starts where he put it all together, and he did. He walked only one batter. The one walk didn't score. He was able to scatter the base hits. And early on in the game when he was dominating Joe, he was doing it by throwing strike one. And that's a real good way to work, especially against a very good hitting team like Washington that has the patience to pick out a pitch. So a much-needed outing by him, and without a doubt his best of the year.
Yeah, he did begin the game tonight with 10 consecutive outs. Although in the first 3 innings, he threw, what, about 34 pitches. And then in the next 3 innings, he threw almost 70 pitches. So he did struggle just a bit in the middle of the game. But then, Jim, and I loved it, the way he ended his outing tonight with a 1-2-3 seventh inning with a big strikeout.
Yeah, that showed some confidence in him as well, that Buck Showalter would send him out. He was at 105 pitches through 6 innings, and Buck gave him a chance. Now, he did have Michael Givens getting loose behind him even as the inning began, just in case. But you're right, that shows you something where he's on the verge possibly of coming out. And he gets the ground ball off the bat of Lynn. Wieters flied out to Jones. And then he got the called strike 3 of Michael Taylor. So a real solid finish to his outing as he was able to get 3 up, 3 down. And for Gausman, Joe, first time all year he's been able to get through 7 innings in a start.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Now, I think Dusty Baker, when you manage, you can make all the right moves. And Baker, I think, made the right moves in that ninth inning. After the walk to Murphy to begin the inning with one out, Adam Lind got a base hit. And then Wieters doubled in a run. So he wound up at second base. Now, Dusty Baker went to his bench. He brought out Trey Turner as a pinch runner.
Very fast.
That was extremely quick. He can fly. And yet it was Trey Turner who actually, because the base runner on third base, Lind, didn't break for the plate. Turner assumed that Lind was going to try to score on a ground ball to Chris Davis in back of the bank at first. Except Lind didn't go anywhere, but Turner did, and eventually they run into a game-ending double play.
So you had the lead base runner being passive and holding on contact. You had the trail base runner being aggressive, trying to get to third base with his speed, and Chris Davis very alert. He had the play in front of him. As he gloved it, he looked over to third base. Lynn wasn't going anywhere, so he ran to the base to get the sure out there for the second out. And then once Trey Turner was all the way down towards third base, they had their choice of which runner to go after, and J.J. Hardy really did a good job going after Lynn and tagging him out for that double play. So the Nationals really ran themselves into that final out. They had the tying runs in scoring position. So if Turner holds it second and Lynn holds it third, they still have one more crack, and they turn the lineup over, because a single with Turner's speed almost definitely would have scored the 2 tying runs.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Rickard began the game tonight with a home run, and then Trumbo hit home run, his third. And then Mancini with a two-run homer in the first inning. So Orioles here began with a three-home run first inning. And how about Caleb Joseph? Second time in his career, he's got a four-hit game.
Yeah, there's a lot going on really positively with the Orioles. Caleb with the four hits tonight. Trey Mancini hit the home run, also had a single. So Mancini has a five-game hitting streak, and he has four consecutive multi-hit games. So he is really contributing. Trumbo, it was good to see him get the home run, his third of the year. And Joey Rickard gets his first, and that was really big because Kevin Gausman had that strong start, as you mentioned, three up, three down in the top of the first. And then Joey Rickard, the first batter into the game for Gio Gonzalez, he goes deep. And Gausman and the O's had a 1-0 lead, one batter in. So really good to see Joe. In particular, if you look at the scorecard, contributions up and down the lineup. The leadoff hitter at two RBIs, the cleanup hitter at an RBI, the number six hitter at two RBIs, and the number nine hitter at an RBI and four hits. So when you get that kind of balance and you get the kind of starting pitching the Orioles got tonight from Kevin Gausman, you're going to win a lot of games. And the Orioles starters now, Joe, the streak continues. Nine consecutive game starts allowing three runs or less. With this offense on this team, if that continues, they'll win a lot of games.
Now, does that include Kevin Gausman's start?
Yes, it does.
At Fenway?
Yes, it does.
A one-inning start?
Well, I have no choice. It was a start.
How about 8 of 9?
I didn't say they went deep enough to qualify for a win.
That one almost didn't count. Okay. Hey, the post game.
Hey, if he goes to the mound and makes a start, it has to count.
That's right. It's right. It's official. Kevin Gausman tonight got off to a real good start. The 1-2 pitch on the way. Boom, and a miss. He got him, and he got him on a changeup. And Harper almost came out of his shoes. Boy, Gausman fooled him. And Kevin Gausman tonight off to a 1-2-3 start as he strikes out Harper to end the top of the first inning.
Yeah, I did that on just 9 pitches.
So nothing. Bottom of the first inning, Joey Rickard tonight, the Oriole leadoff hitter. Rickard on the homestand has gone 4-for-7. Boy, he manages off the bench, comes in and really does a great job of impacting the game. There's a high fly ball, left field corner. That ball is deep. It is way back there. Pick that baby. Bye-bye, Rickard. His first home run this season. He pulls it into the left field corner. A line drive home run. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead just like that. Like I said, he manages one way or the other to impact the game. There you go. Then with 2 outs and the bases empty, Mr. Jumbo came up to him. Here's the 1-2 pitch. And a fly ball. Hit the deep left. This boy got a chance. A Trumbo Jumbo in the bottom of the first inning. And he tomahawked it too. Back about 18 rows out there toward left center. Number 3 for Mr. Jumbo. And it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. All right, good to see. After that, Davis came up. He walked. And then Mancini came up. Mancini digs in. Gonzalez delivers. And there's a high fly ball. This one is way back there. Mr. Mancini has boomed again. Way back at the back of the bullpen, the visiting bullpen out there in left center. Mancini delivers a 2-run home run. And it's a 4-0 Baltimore lead just like that. My goodness. How about that? A 3-home run first inning. Mancini measured at 433 feet. And so Gausman had the early lead, and Kevin had a very strong second inning as well.
Well, you look at some of these Nationals numbers and what they're doing offensively. It's been a scary bunch. And right now, Kevin Gausman is just kind of firing his way through this lineup. The count 2-2. He delivers. And this one is a call, strike 3. Got him looking. Fastball at 96, right there at the knees, and right down the gut of home plate. With some pretty good sinking action, too. Kevin Gausman, my goodness. He's got 6 up and 6 down, and on about 20 pitches.
Yeah, looking real good. Now, in the third, here at Camden Yards, we had a kind of a tender moment.
Catcher number 32, Matt Wieters.
An Oriole fan. fans, a standing ovation for Matt Wieters, who steps out of the batter's box and recognizes the crowd and now steps in.
Yeah, how about that? Matt Wieters back at Camden Yards, this time in an opposing uniform. So, yeah, he was welcomed back by the fans and by his former team. But then J.J. Hardy said, hey, yeah, welcome, Matt Wieters, but you're not that welcome.
And Gausman deals, swinging a hard hit ball into the shift. Diving stop by Hardy from his knees. He throws it. He got him. J.J. Hardy to his left. He just takes a base hit away from his former locker mate. J.J. Hardy and Matt Wieters lockered next to each other for years. In fact, Hardy now has Wieters' old locker in the Orioles clubhouse. And he robs his friend of a base hit and two men down.
That's right. I mean, friendship only goes so far. Great play by J.J. there to rob Matt Wieters of what looked like it was going to be a base hit. Now, in the bottom of the fourth inning, one out, Scope a double, and then a walk to Hardy. It brought up Caleb Joseph.
1-0 on Caleb Joseph. And the pitch is lined to left center field. That's a base hit. Scope got a good jump. He's rounding third. He's heading for the plate. Hardy goes to third. And on at first with an RBI single is Caleb Joseph. So Scope comes around after the one-out double, and the Orioles now have a 5-0 lead.
Yep, 5-0. The Nationals made a comeback. They scored a run in the top of the fifth inning. And then in the sixth inning, after a double by Wirth to get the inning started, it brought up Bryce Harper.
Here's the pitch, swinging a ground ball past the mound towards the middle, off the glove of Hardy, and that's going to be an infield base hit. And Wirth comes in to score. So a double, a wild pitch, and an infield hit. And it's a 6-2 game, and the Nats' first two have reached here in the sixth inning.
But that was it in that sixth inning. One run and a couple of hits against Kevin Gausman. Now, Kevin, with a 1-2-3 seventh, would end his night. Seven innings, gave up two runs on five hits. He has just the one walk, and he wound up with eight strikeouts. And then with two outs and the bases empty in the eighth inning, well, Harper again brought the Nationals a little bit closer. The 2-2 pitch. Reggie ball, fly ball, left field, deep. Backing up a Gentry, forget about it. Back about eight rows. Harper, opposite field, but the base is empty to make it 6-3. And that was against Darren O'Day, who had struck out the first two hitters. And then Brock came on in the ninth to try to pick up the save. He walked the leadoff hitter, David Murphy. And then Rendon, he struck him out. But then Lind would single. And guess what? Matt Wieters came up again, and he would have his moment. Brock, he delivers. There's a drive out toward right center. On the run is Rickard, and he lunges, and he cannot get to it. That's a base hit. Going to drive in one. There goes Lind to third, the ball back in, and Wieters pulls up at second. So that's going to be an RBI double to make it a two-run game. A ball to the gap in right center. Rickard almost got there, not quite. And so all of a sudden, the Nationals had runners on second and third. They had the tying run at second base with only one out. Now, Goodwin came off the bench as a pinch hitter to hit for Michael Taylor. And all Goodwin did was hit a ground ball, but then suddenly the game would end. And now the Nationals have a real opportunity. And here's Goodwin. Going to be right-hander against left-hander. And the pitch. Well, ground ball. Davis has it back at first. He'll take the out. And now they got a runner hung up between second and third. Lind in a rundown. J.J. chasing him to third. And now they got the other runner in a rundown. And Lind is tagged out. And that's how the game ends. How about that double play to end the game? On a ground ball, the Nationals run into a second out. The runner at third base, Lind, he never went anywhere. The runner at second base, Matt Wieters, assumed that Lind was going to score, so he took off for third base. And eventually, in a rundown, Lind is tagged out by J.J. Hardy. And this one is in the win column. It's almost as weird as that triple play we saw the other day. Yeah, almost. That's how the game ended. By the way, it was not Matt Wieters out there. It was Trey Turner, the pinch runner, who got hung up initially. And then Lind, eventually, to end the game, got tagged out by J.J. Hardy. A disjointed double play, and that's how the game ended. Orioles with their fifth consecutive victory. And Jim Hunter, in a moment, will continue our postgame show. He's got Buck Showalter, and who knows who else he might have. When we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Well, the Orioles beat the Nationals in the opener of the Baltimore portion of the Battle of the Beltways, winning it tonight by a final of 6-4. So the Orioles are now 21-10 on the year. The Nationals slipped to 21-11. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
You wanted some length from Kevin?
No, that was big. I thought the seventh inning was probably one of the keys of the game. We were short in the pen. Kevin really stepped forward against a really good offensive team. Really good. Probably as tough a lineup to match up with out of your bullpen because of the way they're constructed.
Given that, given the statistics, I mean, is that the best you've seen Kevin throw today, this year?
I'd have to go back through it. I thought he was pretty good in New York, except for that, you know, kind of got away from him there. But really good command of the fastball tonight. Really elevated when he needed to and wanted to, and, you know, that's a hard lineup to go through, and that was impressive.
Good as Gio's been, how impressive was it to jump on him like that the first time?
Yeah, you know, he's been very quietly one of the more consistent starters in baseball, really. You know, if you got to throw him in there, a lot of guys. He makes 30 starts every year and gives his team a chance to win, so you better not let him get his feet on the ground too much. It can be a long night.
Was it odd watching Matt play for the other team?
Yeah, it's a little... It's a tug, you know, that very classy thing that the organization did there with the welcome back. That was, I had to swallow hard. I think we all did. It was another, like Miguel, it was a good night. We won, and Matt had a good night.
Look, with Gossman, he, in so many outings before, he was getting ahead of guys but not able to put them away. Is it really all just come down to that fastball command, or did he get on a roll a little bit there?
Yeah, I think he got a little more in attack mode when he got 0-2, 1-2, instead of letting the count get back in somebody's favor. He only had one situation tonight. I think it was with Rendon, where he had to come in with breaking ball strike and instead of strike the ball. But he really attacked hitters when he was ahead, and that's been something that his command hasn't allowed him to do.
It was up around.
It's a good pitch. I can't really tell. I turned to John, JR, and said, I'm not really sure, you know, what you tell your pitcher. That's, you know, it's one thing to look up there, and that's where they pitch a lot of guys. But if you can get the barrel over your hands there, you can make some good things happen.
But you talked about how proud you were of the way the teams handled rundowns, but
not tonight. I was.
Yeah.
Not the last one.
Certainly, that last one was pretty much performed perfection.
Tonight?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, the one in Boston, we looked at the next day as a team because we work. Our guys take a lot of pride in that, and they're pretty fundamentally sound on it. And, you know, that's unfortunate. They gave us a little something to work with there. I think JJ picked, you know, trying to get Trey out in a rundown. You know, you better get two guys on each end of him and start walking towards him. So I think he went after, not to say the other guy doesn't run well, but not like Turner.
Buck, with the whole Matt Wieters backdrop tonight, was that a little bit more nerve-wracking for you when you sit there in the top of the ninth inning?
No, not nerve-wracking. We've worked hard to get a lead with a good pitcher on the mound and a chance to win. I say a lot of times our guys, you know, if I told you before you came from the hotel or your house, we'd have a chance to get three outs, win a baseball game, you'd sign up for it every night. You know, these are best players in the world, man. It's tough. It's hard, especially that team. You can see why they've got the best record in baseball. But no, I don't look at it any sense of. I think we all look at it as an opportunity, as opposed to some sense of. You know, I mean, every night these guys go on the field, they put themselves on the line to ridicule or some highlight that shows them messing up or whatever. There's a lot of people, sports world, are watchers. We're developing really a society of watching and whatever. These guys that do this at this level, they want to participate. They want to be in that arena. And if they don't, they get weeded out.
On another subject, did you get any news on Britton?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Not really. Not going to get the hip of people going with me. No, Richie talked to the doctor, saw him out there, found what we, nothing really new there from what we thought. In fact, they took another MRI, and we knew it would quiet down a little bit because the other one was taken a little bit quicker. So we got a pretty good idea what type of time frame we're talking about.
Are you going to make that public? Or?
I'm not going to, and some people that try to make it public are probably going to be inaccurate.
Buck, since Caleb Joseph started the season over 12, he's hitting 316. Does playing a lot have something to do with that?
No, because he played a lot last year. Some, you know, Caleb has a track record of being an offensive, being able to do some things offensively. And I don't know, maybe when he got that one albatross off his back, he was able to kind of clear his mind a little bit with. But, you know, he jokes and he's very open with you guys. He talks well and presents himself well. But believe me, there inside, it bothers him, you know, and he's not contributing like he's capable of. But, you know, I'm really proud of the way he handles it, because a lot of people would, you know, go sit back in the dining room until y'all leave. He doesn't. He takes it on. That's a heck of a trait that, you know, a lot of people, he sets a good example with it. So everybody's real happy for me. Adam was next to me his last at bat. Get that fourth, you know. Because Caleb carries himself the right way. Things go well, he's there. When things go poorly, he's there. He's not going to shirk away from responsibility.
Mancini's home run almost cleared both bullpens. Yeah. He really crushed it.
I tried to rush that quick fastball by him. Yeah, I'm not going to over analyze Trey right now. I'm trying to stay out of his way. Any doctors or agents talking about Britton yet? Good. They shouldn't, because they really don't. No.
So Buck Showalter post-game comments as the Orioles beat the Nationals 6-4 to grab the opener of this two-game series here before heading to D.C. for another two-game series on Wednesday and Thursday.